Tonight, continuing in our study of Paul's letter to the Galatians, we're going to read Galatians chapter 3, verses 15 through 18. And as we hear Paul continuing to engage his opponents in Galatia, we hear Paul speak of the promised Messiah, the seed of Abraham, in whom all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And so, Galatians chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 15. Listen, here's God's word. To give a human example, brothers, even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now, the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one. And to your offspring, who is Christ. This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by law, it no longer comes by promise, but God gave it to Abraham by a promise. That's the word of God. Let's pray for understanding. Our Father, we come this evening to this portion of your word. We hear it speak of promises made and of promises kept. And our Father, we are in a world in which promises are readily made and readily broken. And we are cynical and suspicious. So we pray that as we come to your word this evening, and as we learn of promises that you have made, great and precious promises, we ask that we would not hear of those promises and greet them with suspicion or mistrust. We ask that you might give to us the grace that you gave to Abraham, who believed God and to whom that faith was counted as righteousness. So, Father, we ask that we might enjoy such grace here this evening. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, what are you expecting for Christmas? You may have all kinds of high hopes. You may have developed a wish list. Maybe you got started on that list early, and you've been developing your wish list over a period of weeks, maybe even months. And you've made that wish list known to people who might be able to help you with it. And now you are waiting. What's going to happen? What are you expecting? One Christmas, I received a promise. Wasn't quite what I was expecting. And it wasn't the only thing that I received. I was quite young, so the day, had there only been a promise, the day might have been just a little bit of a letdown. There were other gifts, so all was well. But I received a promise. It was kind of a promissory note, if you know what that was. It was a written down promise. Let me explain. That particular Christmas, I desired that I might get an encyclopedia for Christmas. What fun. It was on my wish list. It was high up on my wish list. And it was out of stock. So, come Christmas morning, among the other gifts, there was a note. And that note said, the encyclopedia is coming later. Now, it was in my parents' handwriting, so I knew that promise was good. And the naughty or nice thing didn't really factor very much into my parents' gift giving. So the gift, that encyclopedia, was pretty secure. I just had to wait a while for it. It was in back order, and I get it. The promise was trustworthy, and I was patient. And sure enough, in due course, the encyclopedia came. And as it happened, it came in three volumes. Now, I don't know that I'd anticipated three volumes, so it was even better than I had expected. Great stuff. Now, if you can understand that, you can understand what Paul is saying here to the Galatians. You'll understand his argument. Paul says, God made a promise to Abraham. He promised Abraham something rather spectacular, something rather marvelous, a promise of blessing. That was the general promise. There was going to be blessing. There was going to be lots and lots of blessing. And that blessing was going to be tied in with the birth of a child. And of course, for Abraham, the promise of blessing that was attached to the birth of a child, well, that was an extravagant promise because Abraham was well up in years. And it looked like a very improbable promise that he should receive blessing and that blessing should be tied to the birth of a child. That God would provide a large number of offspring, that God would provide a place for those offspring to dwell. That was a wild promise if it all hung on the birth of a child when Abraham was someone who was up in years, 99 years old, and his wife was barren, and the probability of them having a child was pretty much next to none. So you'll not be surprised that Moses records for us how in Genesis chapter 15, Abraham said, "How will I know? How am I going to know that such a wild promise is going to come to pass?" And you may remember what happened. God gave Abraham a sign. Of what a sign it was! Do you remember how God told Abraham to take some animals and cut those animals in two and to arrange the two halves in such a way as to form an aisle? And as Abraham watched the presence of God represented by a smoking, flaming fire pot moved between those severed portions of the animals. The imagery was very striking and very obvious. God was saying, as it were, to Abraham, "If I break my word, let me be torn to pieces like these animals." And we might have expected at that point that God would have said, "Now, Abraham, you walk between the animals so that you're promising that you'll be deserving of what I'm promising to you." But Abraham was not required to perform that. He didn't have to do anything. He simply heard what God said. He saw what God showed him. And Paul tells us he believed God. And God credited that faith, that trust, to Abraham as righteousness. Abraham recognized that God was going to come through with his promise. Abraham couldn't imagine how such a thing would happen, but he believed God would do that. And so Abraham awaited the fulfillment of a promise. What's going to happen? What's going to happen with that promise? Well, Paul says in verse 15, let me help you understand. Let me give you a human example. If a man-made covenant is established, no one annuls it or adds to it after it's been ratified. When the promissory note has been written, it can't be changed. The exact analogy that Paul has in mind is a will. When someone makes a will, and when the maker of that will passes on, no one has the authority to change the will. What's promised in the will cannot be changed. Paul says, what God has promised is not going to be changed. And of course, Paul knows that there are going to be some people in Galatia who are going to say, "Well, now, Paul, hold on. Surely Abraham needs to do something. Surely we need to do something in order to deserve this glorious promise that God is making. What about the law? What about the Ten Commandments? Is that not something that's added on to the promise?" And Paul says, "No, no, no, not at all, not at all." Verses 17, 18. What I mean is that the law, which came 430 years afterward, doesn't annul the covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. If the inheritance comes by the law, it's no longer by promise, but God gave it to Abraham with a promise. God has promised, says Paul. God made a promise to Abraham. Is God going to change that promise? Do the circumstances that follow mean that God's promise has been changed? No, not at all. So all Abraham's descendants are going to be blessed? What about Ishmael, the other son? Was he blessed? Well, doesn't seem like he was. What about Isaac? the son who was born to Abraham and Sarah, well, he lived the life of a nomad. Oh, Paul says you misunderstand the promises. Verse 16, the promises were made to Abraham and his offspring, yes, but it doesn't say to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, your offspring, who is Christ. The one who is the bringer, who is the fulfiller of what God has promised, is the Lord Jesus. Jesus is the one. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He is the child of promise, the one who secures the blessings promised by God to Abraham. And Isaiah writes to people who are in difficulties. He writes to people who are going through dark times. He writes to people who, quite honestly, are careless and negligent regarding God. They're sinners, to use the language of the Bible. They're sinners who stand under God's condemnation. And Isaiah writes to them and says, prophetically, a child is born to us. A Savior is coming. And it's so definite that Isaiah is able to say, that child has been born. Isaiah has great confidence in God's promise. When God promises, he fulfills. He does everything that he commands. Every word of God proves true. Isaiah is confident of that. A child is born. And of course, the Lord Jesus has indeed come into the world. A child who, unlike Abraham, unlike Moses, unlike Paul, unlike you and me, a child who was perfectly obedient to the Heavenly Father, a child who grew up to perfectly serve his Heavenly Father, a child who, yes, grew up to fulfill all God's law, and yes, a child who grew up to be torn apart on the cross, because not only would he be a law keeper for his people, he would also be a punishment bearer for his people. And on the cross, the Lord Jesus' body was torn because Jesus came into the world, was laid in that manger. And the wooden manger, I guess, later on was replaced by a wooden cross. And as Peter explains for us, he bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. It's in Jesus Christ that the promise of God is fulfilled. All the promises of God, says Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, all the promises of God find their yes in him, in Jesus. That's why through him we utter our amen to God for his glory. You see, what Paul's saying is that the gospel comes to us with definiteness. When the offer of the gospel is extended to us, the promise of salvation, it's not a doubtful promise. It's not an uncertain promise. It is a concrete, solid promise that we can embrace with confidence because Jesus has fulfilled all that God promised in Abraham. And so Abraham received God's promise. It was a sure promise because it didn't depend on Abraham. Abraham simply had to believe, and he did. And you see, our salvation doesn't depend on us. We simply have to believe in the one who has come into this world. And guess what? What came to pass was even greater than Abraham had anticipated. Yes, indeed, a multitude of offspring, those who trust in Jesus and have not just birth, but new birth, who have new life in the Savior, those who have the promise not just of a tract of physical territory, but who have the promise of a place in the presence of God, an eternity secured. And you see, here's the thrust of Paul's dealings with the Galatians. They're holding that hope as an uncertain hope that depends on the things that they might do. And Paul's saying, no, no, no. It's not on the things that we might do and all of our flawed efforts and all of the uncertainty that comes with that. Look, here's God's promise. God's promise is trustworthy. Here's the Savior who has come into the world, the child of promise. Trust in him. And you see, trusting in him, we have confidence. We might, well, what are you expecting tomorrow? You may have certain hopes that may or may not be realized. I hope they will be. What are you expecting beyond that next week, next month, next year, when we look beyond life itself? What are we expecting? You see, Paul's saying we can have a confident expectation because Jesus secures eternal life for us. We're not left uncertain. We're not left doubtful. We're not left wondering. We can have confidence because all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus, the child born in Bethlehem, the sin bearer dying on Calvary's cross, the triumphant life bringer who is risen from the grave and who now sits at the right hand of God, and whose glorious return — he's come once, he's coming again — his glorious return we look forward to with confident anticipation. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks this evening that we're not dealing with flimsy promises. We're not dealing with uncertain hopes. We're not dealing with matters that are merely wishful thinking. We thank you for the confidence that we have, that the gospel message is not a message that's presented with hesitation and uncertainty, but rather with certainty and with confidence. Whoever believes in the Lord Jesus will not perish, but will have everlasting life. We thank you, Father, that we remember in this season that to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And we thank you that that child is the one whom we desperately need, the Savior of sinners. We pray that we would receive him by faith, with faith, and that we might enjoy the hope that he brings. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.